freedom is the right to tell what they do not want to hear. CNN, MSNBC, Fox News. Tired of the same repetitive government narratives? Then wave goodbye to the distractions and rhetoric of corporate media. For this is Anti-Media Radio.
But I want to get the language right.
The government is in trouble.
After all, a bunch of slaves. A bunch of slaves.
What we need in the United States is not violence and lawlessness, but is love and wisdom and compassion toward one another.
What's your definition of me?
And now, here's your host, S.M. Gibson.
Thursday, February the 26th, 2015. Here we are again for another episode of Anti-Media Radio. They're coming for your internet, or they're coming to save you from the internet providers. Which is it? Well, as always, this is your host, S.M. Gibson, with our wonderful producer, Mr. Shannon Madden.
How you doing? What's up, ladies and gentlemen? How y'all doing this evening?
Okay. Obviously, the big top story of the day is the government loves you, and they're just trying to make it an equal playing field for everybody. Net neutrality. That is...
Yay! Yay!
Is it quite yay? I want to...
I don't know.
Let's talk about it. Exactly.
Yeah.
So basically, before we get into the top stories, we're going to talk about net neutrality for a second. We've got they're reclassifying broadband internet as a common carrier service, and it's under Title II of the Communications Act, which that's a bunch of rhetoric most people don't quite understand, but it's imposing a regulatory structure designed for public utilities.
You mean like the water company?
Like the water company,
wow.
Like
the gas company, yeah.
So it's they're basically classifying the internet now as a public utility, and it's a very gray issue right now because they're telling you that we're just making it where there's not this huge monopoly from these corporations.
Yeah,
and the government loves you. And we're
it's done under the guise of right. We're doing you guys a favor.
Yeah.
However,
there is a problem. There is a problem.
However,
there's 332 pages that have not been publicly released. Nobody's been able to actually debate the language.
Look, and even the opponents, because this was a split decision, there are five members that vote on FCC,
Five. Unelected officials.
Unelected.
Unelected, five people with the FCC.
That's kind of like the Federal Reserve, isn't it? Yeah, I said that, didn't I?
So, three people that were not elected in the democracy, which is America, where your voice counts, three people got to decide something, which is going to end up affecting everyone. Now, we will see whether it's good. Whether, to be honest with you, do I trust Comcast and Time Warner? No.
It's kind of like if I tell you I took care of a problem versus I murdered that pesky next door neighbor. It's the same thing. And right now we're hearing we took care of this problem. But we don't know any of the details of how the problem got took care of.
And here's the situation.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, we keep getting told there's this huge problem. What is this exact problem that we deal with when we get on the internet from day to day? What problem are they solving?
Well, and I will say this:
they're fixing a problem that doesn't exist.
There is one thing. There are certain carriers that will give you quote unquote
correct
unlimited access to the internet.
That's true. That's
and
true.
Once you reach a certain, you know, 5-6 gigabytes or 10 gigabytes or however your plan reads, once you reach that point, even though you have quote unquote unlimited access, you get stifled. You get to that threshold, and once you go over that threshold, it's pretty much like having the old dial-up. Yeah, it really is. And I've been on some of these plans before. This, from my limited understanding of what that net neutrality is and how important it is, I know that time that AT&T is solidly in support of something, I have to grow suspicion right off the bat.
Exactly. You know. But you know, the government coming in and they're acting like they've just done everybody a big favor. When was the last time the government did anybody a favor?
Well, if I knew exactly what the favor is and I could read every single small detail of the favor, hey man, I'm cool with that. Okay, then let's lay it on the table and do the thing, but we still haven't seen the document.
It's very reminiscent of Obamacare.
32 pages, that's shades of gray, man.
How
you gonna hide that?
And something tells me whatever happens to that lady in that book is gonna end up happening to us. But you know
what,
if they're just reclassifying something under Title II of the Communications Act, you don't need 332 pages to do that. You also don't need to put it in front of unelected organization.
Well, and also
public officials.
And we even talked about this a moment ago. We're you know, kind of, you know, get down to the you know, the little micro part of it. You know, here just in the state of Alabama, we have the Public Service Commission, which oversees the utility. So that means that also the individual states that have those regulatory commissions set up are also going to be able to cash in on this as well.
Explain to people how this is going to end up making the government money.
Well, I mean, well, I just said it right there. And not only making the government money in fines and regulations, but we're also talking about lobbying money as well. Public Service Commission is an electable in the state of Alabama anyways. And again, I'm only speaking from this state, and I'd encourage anybody else to call in from any other state and let me know how y'all doing. Yeah, I said y'all. I'm from Alabama.
But you have to remember, Comcast is already number two of lobbying organizations. Comcast.
Yeah.
You know, they're behind the defense contractor.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So they're already been lobbying. You know, there's Time Warner. There's all these companies. This has already been happening. Money's already been changing hands into the politicians in Washington.
Absolutely.
But I think the most egregious part of this entire situation is they took it completely out of the people's hands. Whatever.
Well, they took it out of the people's hands, and they also advertised it under the guise of putting it back in the people's hands. Let's go ahead and get that.
Oh, of course. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But we don't know if that's true. We don't know what the 332 pages actually say.
Yeah, again, we're sitting here talking about something that we don't even know anything about because there's no way to know anything about it.
Right. We know what we've been told.
How incredible is that?
We know what we've been told.
Freedom of Information Act, my ass.
But it goes back to, yeah, we don't even know what's in the bills.
Absolutely.
Much less how we're supposed to know what's happened in our history.
Kind of like that little 15-year-old boy over in the Chicago Black site. We'll talk about that a little bit later.
We will. Hashtag Gitmo to Chicago.
Indeed.
If y'all will hang on to that one. So, we've got the government. It just reminds me so much of the situation with Obamacare.
Hey, don't call us from an unknown number, by the way, just saying.
But anyone can call at any time. All views are welcome.
But not from an unknown number. That's just creepy. That's wrong.
I am an unknown number. I'm an unknown name.
Well, anyway.
Fair enough. Yeah, anyway. So, Obamacare is, we've got Pelosi saying, well, we've got to pass the bill to know what's in the bill. And you've got Obama preaching to the entire world saying, you know, if you like your doctor, you're going to be able to keep your doctor. The cost of your insurance is not going to go up. You know, yada, yada, yada. And it turns out, none of that was actually true, what he said. And here we go again. Well, we've got to, and it's not even Congress has to pass the bill. It's not even elected officials passing a bill this time. It's just three people have decided.
Versus two. There's only five.
There's only five.
Yeah. To represent the whole entire United States. Right. Five people.
Right. So, you know, we'll see where it goes. I know that my distrust of the government is enough that if they're telling me something's good for me, then it's probably good for them and not for me, because that's how it's typically gone.
Yeah.
So I don't know what would make them change their stripes over this one. You know, it could end up going to the full extreme of censorship of the internet, but I think you get into a gray area with that too. Because we look at the things that Edward Snowden has told us and Julian Assange has told us about Google and their inner workings with the CIA and different things like that.
How much is Google stock worth right now?
Oh, geez, I couldn't tell you. It's up there.
A lot more than any stock that I can come up with.
But you're still talking to people who are worried about censorship. Well, you know, there are people like us, that, you know, all the different alt media sites. We're still able to get our message out there, even via Google. But at the same time, you know, Google's going to place what it wants at the top of its search engine. I get SEO and I get that entire structure. But at the end of the day, they're going to push the info to the top that they want you to see before you see anything else.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're already kind of living in a proxy system of.
And you can heap a bunch of money on Google in one day and get your name or your website or whatever shot to the top for that.
Sure, absolutely.
For that one day or for the month or however much, you know, cash you're willing to show.
Because I know.
They are in business.
Because that's what it is. That's what it is. Because I know for a fact we've had stories at Anti-Media. I mean, quite a few stories that have been seen by over 1 million people, and the exact same story that ended up 3-4 days later after we covered it being picked up by like the Huffington Post or somebody like that, their story will come up first. Well, why is that? It goes back to SEO, and it gets kind of complicated on the technical end of it too, but absolutely money is involved in that. And I do think that there is a system of pushing a certain rhetoric and agenda across. Okay, also, we have tomorrow the Gitmo to Chicago hashtag storm. There's activists putting this on. There's also going to be a boots on the ground, feet on the ground march by the activists on Saturday at Holman Square in Chicago in protest to the black site in Chicago.
Chicago represent.
If you're in the Chicago area, please try to make it out to this. This is something that kind of indirectly ties into the NDAA and with the language saying that you can have citizens indefinitely detained. Well, that's what's been going on there. They haven't been charging people. They haven't been trying people. They've just been pulling them in there.
And most importantly, have also denied access to people, receiving counsel from the lawyers, being interrogated without any legal representation whatsoever.
Absolutely.
Allowing children to be interrogated without their parents. We're talking about underage children interrogated without their parents or legal counsel present. Come on, man.
And the reason, you know, the hashtag's Gitmo to Chicago, because it's very similar to what's happening in Guantanamo you know, it's just a black site, basically, that's off the radar. And there's also prisons, of course, CIA prisons in Afghanistan and the Middle East and in Iraq and that whole situation. But this is what people were saying, especially with the NDAA and Guantanamo, is it's going to come here. If they're telling you they're doing it other places, it's going to come here. And here we are. It's here. It's happened. They're just pulling people in, and it's not conspiracy time anymore. It's not, oh, you're crazy for you think, how dare you think that? You're a nut job. Well, guess what? It's like Edward Snowden. Everybody, we were telling you, people were telling you, they're tapping the phones, they're listening to you. No, they're not. No, they're not.
Well, and it's not just.
Well, guess what? They were.
And you know. And,
but that's what this is. Again, this is a very Edward Snowden situation. It's, this is crazy. This is not happening. Oh, wait, yeah, it's happening.
They've done whatever they could to brand Edward Snowden as crazy. And you know, he's a dissident and he's, you know, a fringe element and this, that, and the other. And knowing how far in this guy was and the information that he has, and then other world leaders and other United States politicians and other people are quietly and silently backing up their versions of his story one by one. You know.
Oh, well, I mean, what Snowden said was true. I tell you what, this kind of ties into.
I mean, but look what he did to prove the truth.
Well, exactly. And they made him out to be a villain. I want to hit on this real quick. I really, really thought this was interesting. I'm not sure if many people heard, but John Kerry came out and said, despite ISIL, despite the visible killings that you see and how horrific they are, we're actually being in a period of less daily threat to Americans and to people in the world than normally. Less deaths, less violent deaths today than through the last century. So basically, Kerry, who I am absolutely not a fan of, and not advocating his opinion.
You vote.
Not even saying that I believe John Kerry under any circumstances, but, you know, he's saying that there's less terrorism in the world today. Now, ironically, we have the U.S. Director of National Intelligence came out and contradicted Kerry and testified on Capitol Hill earlier today and said that 2014 was the deadliest year for terror ever. Now, the reason I brought this up, because we were talking about Edward Snowden, is the U.S. Director of National Intelligence, who was testifying on Capitol Hill, that said 2014 was the deadliest year for terror ever, was a man by the name of James Clapper. James Clapper is the exact same man who testified in front of Congress and said, the NSA is not spying on anybody. Don't worry about it. That's crazy talk. We're not doing it. It's not happening.
No.
Almost immediately after that, Snowden released his documents. His information came out. The man that the Fox News people have talked about that in the past, and it's just all so phony, it's all so fake. You know, MSNBC went up on this guy, and now they're, you know, everybody. Now, oh, he's an expert now. He's an expert now. The guy has committed perjury. It's a proven fact. Perjury. He was promoted after he committed perjury in front of Congress. And not only that, they're going to wheel this guy out there and say, well, it's the deadliest year for terror ever. If it's the deadliest year for terror ever, can anybody call in? Can you, Shannon, tell me what's happened in the 50 states for terror in this country? You know?
I think some ladies were fighting over some turkey over at Thanksgiving.
You know, that's not to say there's not violence in this country, but to say terror and to just scare people. There was a report that came out the other day that...
Well, I mean, first off, let's define what terror is or terrorist is.
Well, that goes back to the phrase hate crime.
That's a specific color, and it's a specific religion, and it's a specific, you know...
That's what they... Yes, that's how they phrase it.
But at the same time, though, that changes from day to day, month to month, year to year, always. ISIS, Al-Qaeda, you know, the Sandinistas. I mean, however you want to put it. I mean, that's always going to
change. The crazy right-wing guy that lives in, you know, Elohim City, kind of, that whole situation, the militia guy.
So who's Oceania fighting right now?
I don't know, Goldstein. I'm not sure who the enemy is right now. But, you know, that's the world we're living in. It is 1984. You know, they tell us the enemy is different from day to day, but it's always the same end goal.
And the enemy is different from day to day. It always has a different there's a different name for it and a different ruler. And they're always going to be somebody other than a white person. And it's always going to be somebody over in the Middle East. And it's always going to be in and around an area that America and American corporate interests are making a shitload of money.
Right.
Come on.
And it's fear. It's fear. And they exacerbate different stereotypes. They dehumanize people. We saw it in American Sniper. We've gone on about that at length. We won't again tonight. But you know, they dehumanize certain classes of people, certain religions, certain you know, areas of the world, and they make you believe, well, you're an American, you know, you're better than everybody. But if that's the case, and we're saying James Clapper, who has committed perjury in front of Congress already, how he's not in jail right now is insane. Tell us it's the deadliest year ever.
They taught their dog a trick, and their dog did a trick in front of cameras, and they gave him a bone. Are you? Come on, man.
I mean, it's just absolutely nuts that this is the guy that they choose to wheel out there and give his testimony.
Yeah.
Like, really? How anybody takes this guy seriously?
Auburn North got a book deal. Come on.
I'm just saying. It was like a week. It was less than a week, and they knew that this guy had perjured himself. Area code 602, welcome to Anti-Media Radio. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing good. I actually tuned in a little bit late, decided to go ahead and just give you guys a call. I noticed that you guys were trying to focus in on the Chicago Black thing this evening.
Yeah, we've been talking about that. There's going to be an activist hashtag story about
or hashtag
to Chicago. What are
you talking about? It's horrible. I didn't know where you'd see that. Well, I can understand about the 20, you know, what you said.
What do you call the entire square, the black side of Chicago?
I think we're still getting some form of feedback. I don't think we have a connection here. I'm not sure why. I'm not able to understand what you're saying.
Okay, do you have your speakers up?
I'm going to go ahead and disconnect the call. Sorry.
Yeah, it looks like we're having some issues. That's all right. If you can get it fixed, call back. But, back to Chicago, hashtag Gitmo to Chicago. I'm going to keep repeating that all night long. I think that's something very important.
And you said it earlier, boots on the ground. That is the most important thing.
Any
activism surrounds, it's always about boots on the ground. It's always about moving forward and actually being a part of it.
Speaking of boots on the ground, I heard, you know, Mr. Libertarian, quote unquote libertarian, whatever you want to call him, vomitarian, whatever it is, Ted Cruz. My wife works for Goldman Sachs, Ted Cruz, say that, yep, we should have boots on the ground in the Middle East. That should be happening. We should be blowing people up. Kill, 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 kill.
We need to be out of the Middle East. We need to go ahead and utilize all the other technology that we have to go ahead and quash the petroleum, you know, the worldwide need for everybody else's petroleum, and just use what we have and pump it out in the United States.
And, you know, and it's candidates like Cruz, to a lesser extent, Rubio, I guess, because maybe I assume everybody's figured out he's an idiot. I sure pray and hope they have. But somebody like Cruz really scares me because, you know, he gives just enough rhetoric of freedom and liberty that I think he convinces people that, you know, he's for them. He's a good guy. He's not going to, you know, screw you over. And I don't get it from him. I don't trust him. There's something about him I just don't trust. You know, and especially tonight, him talking about kill, 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 that's not good. But let's go back to the phones. We have area code 240. Welcome to Anti-Media Radio. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. I just want to thank you for all you're doing.
Oh, well, thank you so much.
I am a United States Marine Corps veteran who is also a Muslim. I was in Desert Storm. I saw the true peace of Islam with the real Muslims, not the terrorists.
Right.
I really appreciate everything you're doing. I truly do. Thank you so much for everything you're doing.
Well, thank you. What are your thoughts, being a Marine Corps veteran and also a Muslim, what are your thoughts on the situation with ISIS right now and everything that's going on overseas and the quote-unquote war on terror?
Right. ISIS does not believe the true meaning of Islam. The true meaning of Islam is peace. Okay? That is, Islam is the only thing that's ever given me peace in my life. The only thing. I tried everything. I tried drugs. I tried alcohol. I was a member of the Catholic Church as a child. I was an altar boy. I never knew peace until I embraced Islam. ISIS is not, no way, shape, or form following the true meaning of Islam. They are extremists, just like there were how many thousands of years ago the Crusades happened. That was not true Christianity. Christianity and Muslims, Christians and Muslims can actually coincide together if they follow the true basis of their feelings.
I absolutely agree with that.
I say again?
I absolutely completely agree with you about that. And, you know, I think this is a point that a lot of people overlook, too, as far as Christianity. You know, a lot of people go back to the Crusades, but they look over the fact that George Bush declared himself to be a Christian. Barack Obama's declared himself to be a Christian. And yet they both, they commit, you know, with Barack Obama, his drone war. George Bush, we all know what he did. And these are men that claimed and called themselves Christians. Now, you know, I'm not God. I can't judge their soul and say they are or they're not. But it would appear that they're carrying out wars, you know, and they, you know, are Christians, and that teaches peace as well. So why is everybody jumping one side and ignore the other side?
You know, I was in Desert Storm. Our main duty was to protect the oil fields. Why was our main duty to protect oil fields and not allow them to be blown up by Saddam Hussein? Because it's all behind money.
Absolutely.
We were sent in to protect all of those oil fields as best we could. You know, that was our job, you know.
That was your primary goal, correct?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, do you think that the exact same thing is going on with ISIS right now?
Right now, what's going on with ISIS is they're tired. Everybody over there is tired of us trying to control them. It's not our job, honestly, to protect everybody in the world. We need to worry about what's here.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. You just nailed it on the head.
I'm a veteran, and I'm a proud American, and I'm a very proud Muslim. But our job is what's in this country. We have veterans sleeping on the streets every night. Up until 3 months ago, I was home with myself.
Wow.
Okay? I have struggled through it, and I have a home now. But I was homeless, and there's no help for homeless veterans out there. There's no help for veterans coming home with alcohol and drug addictions because of what we've experienced.
Right.
You know, we need to worry about what's here first, and everywhere else second. What am I worried about going over to another whole different society that has nothing to do with us and tell them, you don't need to do this way? It's not right. We don't worry about China because the United States government knows China can kick our ass.
Right.
We worried about Korea because they have nuclear weapons. So let's beat up on all these other people.
Well, at the same time, too, you know, a lot of it is they're definitely picking over the weaker countries, and they're also picking over the countries that are very enriched with interests that are, you know, financially beneficial to this country.
Oh, yeah, of course, yes. We've only fought wars in everywhere that is in the last, 15, 20 years that are oil-producing countries.
Right, absolutely.
We made the statement of going into Afghanistan after Osama bin Laden, which should have been done because Osama bin Laden orchestrated 9/11. We all know that. There's no proof that he actually died. We don't know. You know, the only people that actually said he died were high-ranking government officials, but no actual seaman or anything else seen his body go off the end of the ship.
Let me tell you something right now. If we'd have actually caught him, if we'd actually had him in our possession, regardless of whatever, we would have had this long, drawn-out trial. We would have had it in New York. He would have been hanging from the gallows with millions of New Yorkers applauding. No.
Even if they would have killed him.
There is no way. There is absolutely
They would have brought no his, way. Even if he was the dead, they'd have brought his body
shoved
back to the United States.
That's true. No way.
Even if the Steel Team 6 would have killed him, okay, even if they did kill him as the story portrays, okay, they would have brought him back to the United States and put him.
Oh,
and let everybody see the body.
Absolutely.
And it's kind of funny.
They would have blasted it on the front page. They did it with Hussein when they hung him. They would have so done it
exactly.
With bin Laden.
What I don't understand is all of SEAL Team 6 that went over there and did this job, all but one of them are dead.
Absolutely.
I don't check in.
Yeah, continue.
No, all but one of them are dead. And he's the one who's saying he took the killing shot. No SEAL Team would ever say anything about that. I trained with SEALs. I trained with them. They are the most closed-mouthed about everything.
And so,
everything. They
what do you think? Okay,
at all.
What do you think if you get a Navy SEAL, whether it's this guy, you know, the Zero Dark 30 guy, or Chris Kyle, even when you get a SEAL that's just loud-mouthed, what do you think that is? Do you think that's more propaganda?
Yes, I do. I really, truly do. I think the whole. I don't know if he's alive. I don't know if he's controlling ISIS. I don't know. I think he went into hiding. I think we might have found him. It was proven the French government found him and they released him originally anyway.
It looks like, from my research, all indications point to that more than likely, it appears he probably died in December of 2001 from some kind of disease. There were multiple reports. Fox reported it. The New York Times reported it. A president of Pakistan said it. The Mossad in Israel reported it as well. And then there's also different reports out of Iran and a couple of other people from Pakistan saying 2005, 2006 he died. But there were various reports around the world saying that he died way before 2011.
Exactly. There are so many reports of him dying, but no proof of it anywhere.
Right.
And just reports, just people saying, oh, he died. He died this time. He died from a disease. He died from being shot. He died from this. He died. But there's no proof of it anywhere. Honestly, if he orchestrated the attacks on the United States, he should have been brought to justice. If he was brought to justice and he died behind it, I have no problem behind that because, one, he might have said he was a Muslim, but the true meaning of Islam is peace.
Well, here's the scary part. Okay, let's assume that the multiple reports of him dying in December of 2001 are true. Let's just hypothetically say that. Then all of a sudden you're implicating, okay, well, if he's dead, we're still going over here into all these countries searching for him, quote unquote. Do you think, especially with, okay, they went into Iraq that had nothing to do, even by their own 9/11 commission fiction, that Iraq had anything to do with it. And yet we still went over there because of WMDs or whatever. Do you think if he would have died, that the government would have just said, oh, he died, you know, he had some liver disease, or, you know, his kidneys failed, or he had a lung disease, and he died, so it's over? Or do you think they would have continued with the plan as is and went over there to, as you said, guard more oil fields?
Yes, I do. I think we would have. Because, one, the United States government as it is right now is all about money. That's all it is. Whether it be Barack Obama, whether it be George W. Bush. I'm an American, and I don't like what Barack Obama has done with the United States. Okay, he has just outlawed the sale of all 5.56 millimeter ammunition, which is telling me that with my AR-15, which is loaded at all times to protect my family from anything that comes on, and I mean the government of the United States coming in my house, I'm going to protect my family at all costs. Okay?
Because
I love my country. Say again?
Have you heard about the executive order where he's going to take up the ammunition for your weapon? He's going to let you keep the weapon.
But I can keep the weapon, but I can't. I can keep the weapon, but I can't buy ammo for it.
Right.
I think Chris Rock.
That's my point. I love my country, but I do not trust my government. I will die for my country. I will die for my family. I will die for my beliefs. I will not kill for my beliefs, but I will die for my family. Okay? I can't protect my family with the way the world in the United States is becoming. We're going to be in martial law within the next couple of years. We're going to be. It's already proven. How can I protect my family when our president is doing the same things that a dictator would do? Okay? I'm a white man who wanted the best thing in the world. The best thing that I thought could ever happen in the United States if we have a black president, because it will bring everything full circle and bring us all back.
I don't want a white president. Right. I don't want a black president. I want a good president.
Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
And you know what? The last great president we had died in the 60s.
It would appear, you know, Kennedy did have his faults and Kennedy made some mistakes, but as in whole, it seems
see Bill Clinton.
Yeah. In whole, it seemed like that Kennedy was probably, you know, the best we've had in a while. I think he bucked the trend a little bit from some of the people that got him put in office, but that's a different conversation.
Exactly.
He
was the leading member. He was one. It's been proven he pushed civil rights to a different degree than ever. Okay. I'm a white man who has mixed children, and I love my black woman that lays in my bed next to me every night. Okay? So I am very for any kind of way, shape, or form the civil rights that have happened in the United States. Okay? I grew up in a racist family, and I hated every second of it. But I chose to join the Marine Corps to protect everybody, in the United States, color, creed, religion, non-religion, it didn't matter. Okay? And what I see the government doing now is only certain people are allowed to have a say. Only certain people, their values are only ones that are met.
But the only color that matters is green. And that's what people, you know, they neglect that fact that the only color that matters in this country is green. They don't care if you're white or you're black or you're this or you're that. If you've got money, then you're going to be protected to an extent.
Exactly. You know, my Marine Corps, my senior drill instructor is Dan Sergeant Phillips. In 1989, when I went to Marine Corps boot camp, platoon 3059, he said, there's only one color in this barracks. There is no white. There is no black. There is no light brown. Everybody is green because I look at everybody the same. And I remembered that for the rest of my life. From that point on, those I see everybody the same until they prove me different. But the United States government only sees the money behind everything.
Yep.
They're taking that ideology and making it the wrong thing.
Yeah, I think your points were absolutely spot on. Thank you so much for the absolute great call. Please call again. Absolute fantastic call.
Best call
Shannon.
We've ever had.
Yeah. Great caller.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man, that right there is humbling because that right there is a true representation of the people that we're trying to reach, everyday America. And this man took it even a step further, several steps further, and is a veteran.
Well, see, I don't even look at it as I'm trying to reach people as much as, you know, people are reaching me, basically. Because there's people like him out there that know more than I do, or, you know, that experience
that
more
went
than I
further
have,
into that's the gone system there. That we're preaching about right now.
Right.
That knows the truth,
you know, I know that.
Darker and deeper than we could even understand.
Exactly. And you know, and I think that's what this whole thing is, and I think that's why it goes back to the net neutrality thing. Is it's this grand experiment where we have this free and open communication, and we can exchange ideas and we can exchange information. And that is the root of that, because we don't want calls like that to go away. We don't want the ability to exchange ideas to go away. And that's what's going to change the world. But at the same time, the system knows that is their greatest enemy right now.
Yeah.
Their greatest enemy is the fact that we can have a guy that's awake in Ohio, or a guy that's awake in Oregon, or a guy that's awake in Vermont, and talking about, you know, to some guy in Alabama, or talking to some guy in Texas, or talking to people in San Diego, and then they all come together and they all connect. You know, that's a very dangerous idea for the government. Because I've always stressed.
And it goes way further than that. I mean, you know, to be able to talk to people in China, to talk to people in Russia, these places that we're supposed to be at odds and against.
Listen, I have never seen the power of the internet more in my life than late last year when Israel was just shelling the crap out of the Gaza Strip.
Yeah.
You know, and what you heard on the news and what you heard, you know, from the figureheads and the talking heads on TV and what you heard.
Some anecdotes.
Right, and the IDF, yeah. they told you.
Soft selling.
But when you looked online and you went to Twitter and you went to the social media and you just saw people that were living through it and were on the ground, and they weren't journalists. They weren't people with an agenda. They were just people. And they were showing you the real pictures of what was happening. They were showing you the real stories of what was going on. It was completely night and day compared to it was night and day compared to what was on TV. It was just night and day. And that's when I realized, like, everything was a complete illusion. So, you know, I think the internet is the most powerful tool we have.
And it's also one of the most evil places you'll ever visit.
With everything. And, you know, that goes back to personal responsibility. That goes back to owning a gun. Or that goes back to the drugs being legal or non-legal. They just, you know, people say the government should get out of your business. They should get out of your business. Well, they need to make drugs legal. Well, so the government should tell you what to do with your body. I'm not advocating anybody go out and do drugs whatsoever.
Absolutely.
But I am saying,
I am saying,
you know what? It's your body. It's not the government's body. The government doesn't own your body.
go look back at Amsterdam's crime rates and as far as their, you know, all the drug-related violence that goes on there. Oh, wait a minute, that doesn't happen, does it?
Right, and look, from the time I spent in San Diego, okay, there was just a plethora, multitudes of crime going on. You know, it was thuggish, ruggish in Southern California, right near the border. And when California made medical marijuana legal, all that crime, it went away.
Disappeared.
Yeah.
Overnight.
You know, it evaporated. So why is that? Wait, less crime happened. You know, and we're talking about violent crime. We're not talking about, well, because there's not marijuana, you can arrest people. No, the violent crime went away.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of other crimes that are not violent.
That associated
that
with
are
that.
Also crap, too, by
right.
Mind you.
Absolutely.
A lot of crimes, you know, there's a lot of things that we do every day that are criminal.
But look at let's look at the crimes involved. I mean, you know, and we're not going to get into this whole conversation.
We could.
But look at prohibition with alcohol. How'd that work out? What did that entail? That entailed organized crime.
That entailed the government and a bunch of select people getting very, very rich.
Right. But it also, an organization of crime rose out of that.
Absolutely.
You know, and then when they came to their senses and said, you know, the government is not here to be your God and to be your doctor and to be you and decide for you what to do, you know, that started going away. And, you know, the mafia and all that situation, they had to find other avenues.
Yeah.
Well, luckily, the government had all this other stuff that was becoming other channels of things becoming illegal at the time. So they eventually had to go into those other avenues. And for people to think that the drug war is not correlated with all this violent crime that goes on in the country is just asinine to me.
Yeah.
So, again, I told you I was going to repeat it multiple times. I'm repeating it here again. Hashtag Gitmo to Chicago, Holman Square.
This comes from Chicago. Oprah?
I think actually Oprah's from Tennessee, but...
No, but she's back in that Chicago's her...
That's her home base, and Barack Obama as well.
Oh, man, I know that guy.
What does he do again?
Yeah, he's that guy. He's the head puppet.
You nailed it. But here's another one. I don't know if you heard this. I think this is really funny. So they keep threatening for the Department of Homeland Security to get shut down. You heard about that?
The Homeland Security?
Oh, no. Oh, yeah, they keep threatening.
Well,
what'll
happen?
They're hanging over people.
Terrorists. What'll happen? The terrorists will come get us.
Yeah. Because you
remember,
you remember before Homeland Security, we had terrorists in this country every day. That's all it was. It was just, you know, it was Thunderdome in the United States.
It was.
It was crazy.
Two-man enter, one-man leave.
Yeah, it was chaos.
Yeah.
Chaos. But thankfully, they established Homeland Security. We all get spied on. We all get felt up at the airports. And we're all safe.
Now, wait a minute.
So if they get rid of it.
I kind of like that part of taking a domestic air flight. I really do. I mean, I haven't been felt up, like, you know, even casually in quite some time. And it's nice to get actually paid for the privilege of doing it. Wait a minute. Ooh, wait a minute. Ooh, that's prostitution.
That is technically prostitution.
That's prostitution. It really is. It's kind of like softcore prostitution.
But I will. But you know what?
Homeland Security is softcore prostitution.
It is.
Yeah.
Because you're paying to get felt
yeah.
up. Never really even thought about
gently.
It that way. But, you know, apparently, if you're a lobbyist, too, that's okay. You're allowed to do it if you're a lobbyist and a politician. Apparently, you're allowed to do it if you just, you know, you're just a lonely guy.
If you travel all over the United States, you can get felt up by different nationalities of people and different regions of people.
Whatever you want.
Accents.
Whatever you want.
It's kind of hot. It's your own 50 Shades of Grey.
It is.
It's kind of like a softcore 50 Shades of Grey.
I think the important thing is that...
You're detained and held and felt up. I mean, you know, come on.
Freedom.
Think about it.
That's freedom.
Yeah.
That is so freedom.
You pay for that. Every single time you go buy a soda, you pay for it.
But that's to keep you safe.
Yeah.
That's to keep you safe. I mean,
felt safe.
I mean, look at the underwear bomber. He didn't work for the CIA. Ooh, there. Never mind. Maybe you did.
My balls got cradled for safety. Yeah, that's awesome.
Right. You know, if you believe that you're safer because you're allowed to, you let your child get touched in an airport, if you think you're safer because of that, wow, I don't even know. Area code 313, welcome to Anti-Media Radio. How are you doing tonight?
What's up with it?
So, hashtag Gitmo to Chicago.
And get it.
Everybody in Chicago, get down the Holman Square on Saturday.
Yeah.
Big deal. Look, it's happened in America.
That is some absolute bullshit. It really is.
It's happened in America. There's a black site in America. They're just detaining people. We know where they're going. You know,
there's a picture of it. You can see the picture of it.
Of the facility. But, you know.
Very nondescript building. Doesn't look.
It's just some warehouse, right? Yeah. But we're living. And let's not kid ourselves. And right now, they're saying it's being reported as, well, this is the only one we really know of, you know. And of course, Chicago, they're just like, I'm worried. It's not what they. That's not what's happening. But, you know, Chicago politicians, by the way, if you do your history, the most trustworthy politicians of all time.
Absolutely. Second to only Alabama.
So please, take Chicago's word for it that there's nothing nefarious going on there. But they want us to think right now that it's the only place in this country that it's going on.
No, man. Come on, dude.
You know, how many places could it be happening?
Everywhere, actually.
Yeah, it could.
Even a small local municipality with 5,000 residents.
They can make anybody disappear.
Some little small little storefront that's all bricked up in the front or the windows are blacked in. Yeah, and really, if you look back at the Patriot Act and all of the other, you know, reasons that the police now are involved in this police state that we're in, that's why the police are trampling all over the Constitution. This has already been written. This has already been set in stone. And there have been quiet little you know, notes passed to every single local municipality that, you know what? You actually matter. You're our first responder.
Here's the scariest
part.
You're
our first responder for terror.
Here's the scary part.
And
here's
a lot of these guys
part.
Are really honestly.
Let me stop you. Hold on. Let me stop you for a second. Here's the terrifying part to me. And this is something that you need to hear me out there. You need to hear these words. This is what's terrifying. What they're doing in Chicago via the NDAA is technically legal. It's technically legal. Yeah. They can just do that to people. American citizens.
Patriot Act, baby.
This is what reporter Ben Swan questioned Obama about. Like, this has been
in
the narrative for a while.
And
this
at
is,
the same time, we're not going to stop President Obama. The Patriot Act did not happen during the
This
the
isn't
Obama
the Patriot Act. This is different than the Patriot Act.
It's an addendum. That's all it is.
Oh, cool. Well, this is, you know, it's something that they do every year because we have to fund the military, blah, blah, blah. But what's inside that, what's inside that, they put all this language inside of it. They just pass whatever they want because they say, well, we've got to fund the military. We've got to fund the military. So, you know, if you don't fund the military, you look like a bad person. And they could just slide anything in they really want, which
absolutely.
They've done it. Area code 806, welcome to Anti-Media Radio. How are you doing this evening?
Good. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
All right, good. What are you guys talking about?
Oh, we've been talking about the black site in Chicago. We've, you know, covered all that, net neutrality. What's on your mind tonight?
Oh, well, I was just looking at the InfoWars website, and I saw that Jihad John was from London.
Yeah, I heard that come out today, and I heard, too, a lot of people are, like, defending the guy to a degree or saying, like, he was, like, a really beautiful person, or a lot of people thought he was a nice guy and, you know, went to the University of London or wherever he went, had a college degree, and blah, blah, blah.
Well, he's with the MI6 that they're coming out with, and lots of people like LaRouche, Lyndon LaRouche, and a few other people have been saying all along that this is a British conspiracy to create another war for the United States to fight in the Middle East.
Well, you know, I think just tracing the finances of it, you can get to some level of that, absolutely. And plus all the videos between the 7-foot members of ISIS walking around and the green screens that they're standing in front of, I think you can at least see that something's going on here.
Sounds like a KISS concert.
Right. So what do you think ISIS is meant to do? You think it's just they're just there to drag us into more war?
I think so. I think ISIS is created by partly Wall Street and City of London to create more of a war for us. Is that HSBC get in trouble for? They're in trouble right now for financing ISIS and.
HSBC
80% of the drugs and cocaine and heroin in the United States is from financed by HSBC. It's coming out right now.
Yeah, HSBC, they've been implicated for like the past year. Like it's just something like every month that comes out, and they've been repeatedly caught funding terrorism, and it's just like, oh, it's no big deal.
Oh man, it's coincidence.
Yeah,
just chill out.
And everybody. Nothing happens.
Hey, chill out, guy. Here, you needed that.
Yeah. But that goes to show, and the caller, you made a great point when you mentioned the City of London. I don't think people really realize how much the financial institutions inside the City of London dictate world policy to everyone.
How much money is London? How much money goes through London? London's a very expensive place to live.
It's more than a couple of dollars.
London controls 70% of the world's monetary system.
Exactly.
Ding, 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 okay. Ding, 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 ding. Winner.
The British Empire is, people forget about the British Empire, but the British Empire is 55 countries. One-third of the globe is still under British rule. So it's called the British Commonwealth now. It's not called the British Empire anymore.
Yeah, Empire is such a nasty word. It really is. Commonwealth,
yeah,
more fuzzy and warm,
right? Right. And so HSBC, that bank was created during the British Chinese Opium Wars. It's called HSBC, stands for Hong Kong Shanghai Banking Center. So anyhow, and that bank was originally created to. For heroin and opium, so to finance opium trading in Asia. So it's no wonder that they're caught doing the same stuff now in Mexico, and this, that, and the other. So,
yeah, absolutely. We're about to get off the air tonight. Absolutely great caller there to end the show.
Man, we've had some awesome callers.
Great
tonight.
Callers tonight. But, you know, he made an absolutely fantastic point about HSBC. You know, I didn't really want to bring that in, but he's dead on. They've been caught again. You know, we should probably just dedicate entire Tuesday's next show just to the crimes of HSBC. I don't know if anybody's ever even going to be punished for this stuff, but probably not. Why would they? You know, when do people actually get punished for doing things? The people that get punished for things are the poor people. Rich people never go down for anything unless
wait a minute, I'm poor. I don't want to end the whole
Well,
yeah.
Well, then.
You ain't got my balls
be
off.
Be careful. But I tell you what, thanks everyone so much for tuning in to tonight's episode. Hashtag Get Mo to Chicago. Listen to LaVon tomorrow night on Friday.
Come on, make it happen.
Have a good evening. Through the stairs.
I'ma let them know, no, through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo.